Well, it is a critical time in our city. It's a critical time in our state. And many people are concerned. Well, most of all, two former governors are with us this morning. We have former Governor David Patterson, former Governor Andrew Cuomo, on some possible solutions and possible advice, depends how everybody wants to take it, on what's going on our city, our state, and it's 2 weeks away from the budget. And I understand from history that during budget time, the governor in Albany has extra bullets in their gun. Well, good morning, governors, and thank you for coming on the Cats Roundtable this morning. And Governor Patterson, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. And we are, as you just pointed out, we are 2 weeks up against a budget that has to be passed. And this budget, as Governor Cuomo has pointed out, is going to be more than just the budget for the state itself. It's going to have to deal with congestion pricing, the issue of the migrants, and the issue of the National Guard and the subways. So this is going to be a lot for the legislature to try to pass April 1st. And even with the governor prodding them, they might be there a little longer than after April 1st. Wouldn't you agree, Governor?
Governor Cuomo, you always said to me and Governor Patterson that during the budget time, the governor has a few extra bullets in their gun when they're dealing with the state Senate and the state assembly.
Well, John, sure, it's good to be with you, Governor Patterson. Good to be with you, John. The governor doesn't have a few extra bullets. The governor has all the bullets in the gun when it comes to the budget. And Governor Patterson showed that, and I think I showed that. And Governor Patterson is exactly right. These are the major issues: congestion pricing, National Guard, and the situation with the migrants. And they should be dealt with in the budget. And if they are, these are complicated, contentious issues. And there's going to be a real discussion about them. I hope that the legislature doesn't punt and ignore them, because the legislature tends to ignore anything that is politically contentious. And if the governor and the legislature can get away with ignoring a problem, they will. And these issues, I think, are too consequential to play politics. Congestion pricing at this time, and I support congestion pricing as a policy. I passed it as a policy. But the question is it the right policy, and is it the right time for that policy? And
now, I think, governors, before you go on, I just want to say right now is a critical time. Our city, a tremendous amount of people, I've heard numbers from anywhere from 500 to 800,000 people have moved out of the city. And sooner or later, the crap is going to hit the fan unless we get the exodus under control. Both of you, which issue is the most important first, that the exodus is continuing?
I think the biggest issue right now is the migrants. There's over 200,000 of them that are here this year that weren't here last year. There hasn't been significant federal aid to try to give any support to this current governor or to Mayor Adams, who really had this whole thing dumped in his lap. And I still don't understand how the whole thing seems to get blamed on him. But I think a state solution, or at least endeavor to try to do something about the migrants, that's where I would start. How about you, Andrew?
Well, I think David is exactly right. And we're 2 weeks away, so let's really be honest about this issue. The migrant issue in New York City is a consequence of what the state of New York does. And not to get in the weeds, but what's happening is there's a court action that says, called the Callahan Decree, which is from a court case, Kerry v. Coalition for the Homeless, Governor Kerry, goes back to 1979. and it said that New York City must provide for the homeless. And what they're saying is the migrants are basically like the homeless, and therefore New York City should provide housing for the migrants. This is from the state constitution, Article 17, that says the state and its subdivisions shall provide for the needy. It was from 1938. It also has a provision, David, that says, as shall be determined and modified by the state legislature from time to time. So they passed it in 1938, but they recognize that things are going to change and the legislature should modify it. All the legislature has to do is say it doesn't apply to migrants or it doesn't apply to non-residents of the state. That's all they have to do, a one-line bill. And New York City wouldn't have to be forced to provide the housing for the migrants. The state won't do that. The governor hasn't proposed it. The legislature hasn't proposed it. And then the state has the added goal of saying, we're going to make New York City house the migrants virtually alone, nowhere else in the state. And the state isn't even going to pay. Mayor Adams is exactly right. You want to make the city house all the migrants, then the state should pay. The state's only talking about paying a third of the cost and saddling New York City taxpayers with two-thirds of the cost. On what theory? I mean, it's really abusive to the taxpayers of New York City. What do you think, David?
I think that obviously all of the governments around the country that are encumbered by this migrant program are starting to react. In Chicago, they don't want it anymore. In Denver, they don't want it anymore. And what you just articulated is a feeling that even internally, some of the states are not even really too interested in helping their largest city or their largest cities. And that's not America, as I see it. It's not what we're supposed to do when we're in government.
Now, the other situation is, governors, and we sort of joked about it on the 5 o'clock show the other day, but the migrants are getting an average of $387 a day, 7 days a week, to house them, feed them, et cetera, et cetera. A poor employee in New York City, New York State, even if they were making $20 an hour, 8 hours, that's $160 a day before taxes. I mean, I want to cry. An American has to work $160 an hour at $20 an hour before taxes versus the migrants are getting $387 a day for 7 days a week. What's the answer?
Well, first is, it's lunacy, John. It is lunacy what is happening. And that it is allowed to continue is what is making New Yorkers so frustrated and angry, because everybody gets it, right? You have people who have been on lists for years to come to this country and apply for citizenship. Now you have basically exploded a loophole that says if you come seeking asylum, you get ahead of the list. It's going to take us 7 years to have a hearing as to whether or not you qualify for asylum. And in the meantime, you're in the United States. The government is paying all your costs. And by the way, good luck finding these people 7 years from now. And again, the state could stop this if they wanted to, but they are afraid of the politics. And you know when they're going to pay the price? They're going to pay the price on Election Day, because New Yorkers aren't stupid and they get it. And I think they are going to be more frustrated and more activated than we've seen in a long time.
And I would add to that that I think the federal government is going to pay as well, and some of the people who run it, because this is really the epicenter of where this problem is germinating. And it is an incredible way to treat states like New York and others that have that same problem.
Understood. Go ahead, Governor.
It's not just New York City. David's exactly right. I mean, the entire state is watching this, right? Now, New York City has been chosen by the state as the only place where migrants are housed, essentially. But the entire state is watching this, and they know the cost. And it makes no sense to anyone, John. What you just said, it resonates with everyone. It's something like $380 per day. Until they have a hearing, and the hearing, by the way, if the federal government says it's now 7 years, that means it's 10 years, right? Who knows when it is.
You'll never and find those not, people again.
No, that's right.
And then
that's
the fact that you have the situation, as the governor described, where you have people coming in, people coming into the state and actually being better off than people who were already there, people who were in shelters, people who were homeless, people who are living in the lowest standard of living, and they're basically being displaced. Now, we've had people be displaced by people who had more money than them. This is the first time it's ever happened where theoretically they would have less, but they have more.
100%. And that Mayor Adams, what they have done is, and this is why I think the state is going to do nothing in the budget, because they have been allowed to get away with total anonymity. Nobody knows that it's really the state that is forcing New York City to do this. It's all on Mayor Adams. And he's taking a political beating for what's happening on the migrants. And I think that's just fine by the state officials and the legislators. And that's why I think they're going to do nothing, because it hasn't been communicated that this is really up to the governor and the state legislature. If it was ever communicated, you get these assembly people and senators in New York City, and you tell their districts, by the way, it's your state legislator who is saying only migrants in New York City, and it's your state legislator who is saying New York City taxpayers should pay the bill. They would be ex New York legislators.
Now, governors, the other big item why people are moving is the crime in the subways, and looks like Governor Hochul has come up with a temporary solution. There's crime in the streets. Every drugstore, all the Rite Aids have closed up. Every other drugstore has everything locked up. My employees in Gristini's and D'Agostino used to work to midnight. Or some of them are scared to work to midnight. What do we do to stop the exodus?
I was talking to the head of the transit police, Michael Kemper, and he's saying that when the National Guard people come in, not operating independently, they're operating under the aegis of the New York City Police Department. So that's good to hear that. But at the same time, what kind of system do we have now? We have people who are trained for a long period of time before they become police officers. And there's no way that you could convert that and put National Guard people in the subways, even if they're being monitored by the police, and get the same results as if you just had more police officers, which is what Mayor Adams is saying. Just give us the overtime money and we'll put the police officers in the subways, and that will curb the crime.
Well, the other situation, and exactly. I've talked to the commissioner, all the police commissioners, new and old and current, is there's 3,300 very bad criminals, repeat criminals. Like Chief Kemper said, I have one guy that I've arrested 50 times. So it used to be under the Rockefeller law, three strikes and you're out. And I've said to the politicians in Albany, what do you want? You want five? You want 10? You want 20 strikes and you're out? But some of these people don't belong in the civilized world. What say you guys?
Well, John, both David and I worked very hard to reform the Rockefeller drug laws, which went too far the other way. And we did successfully reform them. But the pendulum often swings too far the other way. You're right. You have a small number of people who tend to be the repeat offenders. And the criminal justice system has to recognize that. You can't have immunity for breaking the law, because otherwise you will do it again and again and again. And David's point about what's happening in the subway system is exactly a statement of where we are. The people of the city elected Mayor Eric Adams. They elected a former police officer. When they elect a former police officer, they're telling you something. They're telling you public safety is a top issue and they want police. The National Guard, both David and I have worked with them. We love them. They're great. They do a lot of good things. They're not police officers for the transit system, which, by the way, is one of the most complicated positions for a police officer, even once they're trained. And the answer is hire more police. That's what Mayor Adams is saying. Give me money for overtime or money to hire more police. That is the answer. And we know that's the answer, right? You can go back to the David Dinkins administration. He takes over. There's a crime problem. They increase the police force 50%, and crime goes down. Most of the cops came on during Rudy Giuliani, and he got the credit. But it was the Dinkins administration, first black mayor, hire more police. It's this political far-left attitude that is a hangover from defund the police. We don't want to hire police. So we'll send the National Guard, but we don't want to hire police. It's political. It makes no sense. It actually, I believe, jeopardizes people. Because if you're not trained to do police work in the subway system, you shouldn't be doing police work in the subway system.
I mean, we have an incident or two every year in the subways where an officer is forced to fire his weapon or her weapon, and there is an investigation to see whether or not that was right. Now, this comes from people who are highly trained, and even at that level, it's very difficult to try to arrest people in that environment, particularly in the subway. So here you have a situation now where people who it would take, I would assume, 6 to 9 months to adequately train them and say that they could operate in the system by themselves. So if it's a temporary maneuver, it's hard to say that it's temporary when the people who would perform it wouldn't be ready for almost a year.
Well, governors, what I say is, if I was, I'm a CEO of my companies, and the governors are the CEO of the state. Now, what I say is, sometimes when I have a major problem, I throw everything at it until it's fixed. And to me, if I'm looking at what Hochul did, Governor Hochul did with the National Guard, maybe it's a 2-month solution to maybe get the people fixed. But it's not a solution unless you put them away, and the people that are violent criminals, you put them away and they don't live among civilized people.
Well, that's right, John. And this is the first solution Governor Hochul wants to use. We'll just hope that it works out. And, you know, maybe it will reduce the crime, and that will, you know, be a great thing. It's good to see that he's taking some action where, you know, at times we've seen leaders in the past sit back and do absolutely nothing.
Understood. Governor Cuomo?
Look, having the presence of the National Guard is good. Doing something as opposed to doing nothing is good. But I don't know why we are trying to reinvent the wheel here when we know the answer. This is not an optical problem. This is not about, the problem is not checking people's bags in the subways, right? We need trained police. What happened was the state funded the city to have overtime, to have additional transit police. The funding ran out. The number of police in the transit system dropped, and the crime went up. The answer is more police, not optics, not theater. Hire the police. Now, the city council doesn't like to hire police. That's why what I call the hangover, defund the police. I get it. I went through this with the city 2019. They didn't want to hire more police. I hired 500 police for the MTA. Because the city didn't want to use the NYPD transit cops. So we hired more MTA police. But the answer is hire more police, period.
Understood. Now, we only have five more minutes left. And maybe you as former governors can give some advice to our current governor. The bullets at her disposal to help get the state Senate and the state assembly on her side.
To go back to the opening statement you made, the governor has additional bullets. And I said, tongue in cheek, the governor has all the bullets. The governor has total control during the budget process. That has been litigated, Silver v. Pataki. That has been demonstrated. Governor David Patterson sat in the Red Room in one of the great scenes in all the and sat there and vetoed. How many thousands of bills did you veto, David?
6,709.
Wow!
And so I lost the use of my right hand.
In a really obvious demonstration of the governor's power, David Patterson sat there and vetoed 6,709 bills, saying,
"You know, governor, for the first hour we did it, and finally, one of our press people said, you know, if you're going to sit there and veto them, we should put a camera on you." They had a camera on me for 8.5 hours.
So he made it clear the power of the governor during the budget. And I understand these are politically contentious issues. And let's be honest, politicians all across the board are scared. People are angry. These are tough issues. But ducking the issue never works. Denying a problem never works. Congestion pricing, crime in the subways, the migrant problem, you either solve it now or it's going to get worse. Each one of them will get worse. More people will leave the city. There will be more crime, more migrants, more cost. I'm afraid they're going to duck. I'm afraid the legislature is going to duck, and they're all going to duck, and you're just going to see these problems wholly unaddressed during the budget, and they will continue to fester. What do you think, David? What's your bet?
Now, I have a slightly different point of view, Governor. I think that everything you said is likely to occur, except for the fact that this is an election year, 2024. And in 2022, those same legislators were feeling no pain. You know, they were going to win. They were going to have, super majorities. The governor's going to get reelected easily and that kind of thing. But there was kind of a little bit of a rebellion by the voters of New York. And I don't think that the voters of New York have forgotten how they felt in 2022. And if these legislators don't do something, I think we might see a reenactment of that shift that occurred in the summer of 2022.
Well, I agree with you.
Go ahead,
I agree,
Governor,
with you with that. I think they'll feel it in the primaries. I think they'll feel it more in the general, David.
Right.
I think,
yes, exactly.
That's where you're going to see traditionally safe Democrats pay the price for migrants, for the crime, for all the absurdity that you articulated, John, at the beginning of this interview. I think you'll see it in the primaries, but more in November. The Republicans are going to really come out in force, and there'll be no answers because you can't defend these policies. And just the way David was saying, the Democrats missed the crime issue in the last cycle. They're missing the crime issue again, and they're missing migrants and congestion pricing, which is $15 a day. And that comes
it's
right
crazy.
Out of your
It's crop. Crazy. It's crazy. If I get another truck in one of my stores, governors, and they're going to charge me $100, it's going to be reflected back to the consumer. So this is a consumer tax.
No, totally. And
now governors, I want to have, we're almost out of time. I'd like to have a one-minute closing statement by each one of you.
All right. Oh. here we are in 2024. We are, you know, getting toward the primary season, the general election season, and we're looking at some workable, sensible, achievable goals to try to address what no one can deny right now is a real lack of public confidence in their public servants at this particular time. So I'm just hoping that something gets into the water or into the minds of people who have decision-making capacity right now to try to turn that around. We've done it before. Governor Cuomo pointed out we did it with Mayor Dinkins in 1992-93 when they passed the Safe Streets, Safe Cities Act. We can do it again.
Governor Cuomo?
Hear, hear. Yes, people are disgusted. People are frightened from the national level all the way down. Let New York take a different course. Stand up and be heard and address these issues. I know they frighten politicians, and the old adage, a politician who does nothing wrong. Yeah, that doesn't work, and that's not true. And these issues are real to people. There's nothing academic here. They get the migrant problem. They get congestion pricing. They get crime in the subways. And I know it's difficult, but it's better that you confront the issue and show the people that you hear them and you respect them and you're trying to do something about it. Yes, it's easy to pass a budget if you ignore all the tough problems. But as Governor Patterson said, if you do that, you're going to pay the price on the primary day, and you're going to pay the price on the day of the general election. And even worse, you're going to further the frustration and anxiety that people feel. Government just doesn't work, and politicians don't represent them. Let New York take a different course. We always have. New York was always the leader, and it can be again, but you have to lead, and that is the job.
Well,
Governor Patterson, Governor Cuomo, the 56th and 57th governors of New York State. We love our city. We love our state. Thank you for all working together to help save our city and our state. And God bless New York and God bless America. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John.